We all ready for VBS tomorrow? I hear there's 60 kids pre-registered. How many? 65? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Wow.
38
I'm sorry, I just had a heart attack. Wow. I think Todd's going to be my co-teacher tomorrow. So, all right. So, in preparation for VBS, are we hauling tables and chairs and all that after church today? Okay, so if you're around to help, if you could help us move chairs and tables, and I think we need to move some dividers as well over there after church today, if you could help us do that, I appreciate it. Datha appreciates it. So many hands make light work, so that would be great if you could do that. Okay, be great. Also want to let you know, since next week we'll be at Florence, 10:30 there, I hear there are games, so you don't have to dress formal, let's put it that way. So, huh? There are rumors. I have not verified them, but there are rumors. So, you know, you might get wet. I probably will get wet, but others, you might. So, do that, and then potluck, right? On next Sunday, so if you could bring something to share, it would be great. The following week after that is Father's Day, and Rachel and I will not be here that week. We are celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, and so we're taking a trip. And so, I know, thanks for her. She's put up with me for this long, so it's amazing she's done that. So we are headed up to Alaska. So don't think we're wealthy. This is what you save for a couple of years and buy cabins at the bottom of the boat. But we're on the boat, and so so it should be fun to go up there and see a place we've never seen before. So we'll have a guest speaker that Sunday. That's all arranged. So okay. So I'll be back. We'll be back the following week.
And then the following week is baby dedication.
If you'll be here. So. But yes, if you're interested in having your child dedicated, please see me. We'd love to do that. I think it's a special moment when we set apart a child to the Lord, pray for their salvation, for their life would be centered around the Lord. I mean, what more could a believing parent want than that? So if you are interested in that, please let me know. All right, I think that does it for introductory announcements. So today, we're going to start with our first one another command. I tried to introduce this last week, and talking about how we are a church as a family, brothers and sisters in Christ, with God as our Father, Jesus as our elder brother, that we are all related to each other spiritually, and that means a lot of things. Today, I want to talk about loving each other. This is the most repeated one another command in the New Testament. 16 times we're told everywhere from Jesus to 1 John. Talks about loving one another. What does that mean? Okay. I want to start with this. If I can. Next slide, Drew, please. I need new batteries. I came across this note this week. And it's a letter from Marie to her former fiancé, Jimmy. Okay, and the word goes like this. Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. Okay? She's heartbroken at giving up Jimmy, okay? And then we read this in the next one, and P.S., and congratulations on winning the state lottery. Okay? It's really interesting. There are love with conditions. I love you if you win the state lottery, okay? Now, would she have written that note to him if he hadn't won? Probably not, Okay? But this is often a, you know, this is a type of, quote, love, I guess. Okay? Have me back. I love you, I love you, I love you, and I love your bank account. Okay? So, you know, that's not really what Jesus is talking about or what the disciples are talking about as they write their letters. The love that Jesus is telling us to love each other with is something very different. Okay? And so this, we're going to look at various passages this morning. But if you would, turn to John chapter 13. Okay? I want to start here. John chapter 13, 34 and 35, and then we'll move on to chapter 15 in a minute. In John 13, Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, and then he has identified Judas as the betrayer. And Judas has just left, and I think the disciples are wondering what happened here. And so Jesus gathers them together, and he says, I want to tell you something, and I want you to concentrate on this. Okay? It's all right, Drew, you're going to have to do it for me. John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, Jesus realizes here that he's within 24 hours of when he will die. Okay, if they're having dinner at 8 o'clock at night, he will be dead by 3 o'clock the next day. Okay, so he knows his time is short. And it's interesting, when people know their time is short, they choose their words carefully. What is it that you want to communicate? Okay, what is it that you want people to remember? Okay, I think of it back to 9/11. Back in 2001, when that morning, when all that the terrible things happened, the Flight 93 that was over Pennsylvania, okay, the last one, the people on that flight knew what had happened. Okay, they had gotten phone calls. They knew planes had been at the two towers. They know one had gone into the Pentagon, and they knew the terrorists had taken over their plane. Okay, they knew they were going to die. What were those phone calls like home? What do you say? What do you communicate? What is the last thing you tell your family? Okay? You choose your words very carefully. What did Jesus want to communicate? What did he want to say? He said this, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Okay? Now, what does it mean to love one another? Okay, we don't have to look very far, and we see many different definitions of love. Okay, I love my daughter, so I'm going to get her whatever she wants to. Okay, that's not really love. Okay, I love everyone, so I'm careful not to offend them. Okay, that's not really love either. You know, I've heard stories of children being beaten because their parents love them. I've heard people who love themselves so much that they indulge in all kinds of deplorable things. Okay? What is love? How do we define it? What does it look like? St. Augustine once wrote this. Okay? He says, real love knows how to love things in the right order so that you do not love what is not to be loved or fail to love that which is to be loved. Or have a greater love for that which should be loved less. Okay? That we are to recognize those things we are not to love and not love them, to recognize those which are lovely and we are to love them with all that we have, or to love a little bit those that should only be loved a little, not exalt them above where they should be. Okay? In Jesus' command to his disciples, he defines what their love for one another should look like when he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Okay, he says, the love I want you to share, you've experienced. You've been here, you've felt it, you've seen it. That's what I want you to imitate. So a little popcorn here. How has Jesus shown love to his disciples throughout the Gospels? What are some examples of him loving them? Yeah, spend time with them. Okay? Imagine a ragtag of individuals like this, and he spent 3 years with them. Okay? What else? Okay? Keep going. Fed them, yes. Yeah. Get behind me, Satan. Or to Peter, you'll deny me 3 times. He calmed them. Okay. All sorts of times. Okay. Jesus loved them. They ate together. They traveled together. They ministered together. Okay. He taught them. He challenged them. He forced them to practice what they heard. He sent them off on missions, okay? Go do what I've shown you and come back, okay? And for the most part, he was patient, okay? I don't think I would have been patient with this group. They didn't get it over and over again, and Jesus kept coming back, okay? But he also chided them, okay? He would rebuke them from time to time, okay? And what I see here, and what I encourage us to see, is that love can be shown in many different ways. Okay. From Jesus, we see that his relationship with his disciples is the essential avenue for his love to be shown. It came through his relationship with them. 3 years with these guys, every day, all day, traveling around. Okay? You do that, you know what each other smells like. Okay? You know what the habits are. You know what the annoying things are. You know all this stuff. Okay? And yet, God himself spent the majority of his time with these 12 people, including one that would betray them. Okay? And I think in these relationships, there are times for encouragement. There are times for helping each other understand difficult topics and for motivating, challenging, encouraging each other in our faith. I think we should encourage each other to live out practically what we know from Scripture. You know, sometimes we encourage, sometimes we challenge and confront. Okay, that's all love. Okay? We don't do this to tear the person down, but to build them up. Okay? And of course, there should be forgiveness. Okay, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. So, in our fellowship here, I challenge you, or I encourage you, to talk with someone after church you haven't talked to before. Okay, and it's very easy to talk with our best friends, okay, but we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we didn't choose each other, just like we didn't choose our brothers and sisters, but we are family, okay? I wonder this. If I was to come up to you and ask, so, how is this other person doing in church in the last couple of months? Would you be able to tell me? If I was to come up to you and pick out a random person in church and say, okay, so, how is this person doing? Would you tell me, I have no idea, or they're doing okay, or they're struggling a bit? I'm not saying you have to be best friends with everyone in church, but what I am saying is we should know enough of each other, communicate enough of each other to be able to say either they're doing well or they're not, or this is what's going on. Okay? So I challenge you to cross the aisle or to talk with people you haven't talked with before. And you don't have to go very deep, just how you doing, what's going on, how can I pray for you? Okay? I think that's what family does. Okay? And I think that's what we should do as well. You know, conversations like this don't have to be very long. Author Leo, this is a great Italian name, Buscaglia, once told about a time when love was shown without any words at all. And I love this picture. Buscaglia talked about a contest he was asked to judge. And the purpose of the contest was to find the most caring child. Okay, think about being a judge for that. I mean, what do you do? Oh, you're not caring. That's great. I mean, you get shot for saying that, okay? The winner was a 4-year-old child whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. Now, hear what he did. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed onto his lap, and just sat there. When his mother asked him what he had said to his neighbor, the little boy said nothing. I didn't tell him anything. I just helped him cry. Right? Sometimes it's not about saying anything. Sometimes it's just about listening. Okay? So I challenge you. Talk to one another. Listen to one another. That's what family does. Okay? It's important. In John 15, okay, flip over a couple of pages to John chapter 15 and look at 12 through 13. Jesus says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Now, this, of course, is what Jesus did for us, okay, as well as his disciples. And while we've all heard stories about people sacrificing for others, most of us we're not going to be in a position to do this. Okay, it won't come up to us that we need to die to save someone else's life. But at the very least, it does call us to sacrifice our time, resources, and wisdom in our relationship with each other. Okay, so it's something we need to do. Okay, God's given all of you wisdom. He's given me a little bit. Some of you, he's given a lot. Okay? Well, share that wisdom. Okay? If somebody's going through a difficult time, share what God has taught you. Share what Scripture says. Okay? Encourage each other. But also realize you're not the Savior, and don't make yourself out to be one. Okay? Okay? I can give advice to someone, and I can say, okay, this is what I think you should do, or this is what Scripture tells you to do, but I can't make the person do it. Okay? Can't. It's not my responsibility to make them change, but I think it's my responsibility to share and to guide and to give wisdom. Okay? And so do that. But if nothing changes, don't consider it your fault, because it's not. Okay? The person has to make a choice. Okay. But that shouldn't stop us from still loving and giving wisdom and encouragement. Okay. A second point here that I think John makes, and he makes this in his letter of 1 John, is this. You cannot give what you don't possess. You can't give what you don't have. Okay, and this is true with physical things, right? I can't give an apple to someone if I don't have an apple. Okay, I can't let my neighbor borrow a wheelbarrow if I don't have a wheelbarrow. Okay, but I think it's also true spiritually, because I think John says it. Okay, so flip to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 7 through 12. Okay, same author, but we move from his gospel to his letter. So 1 John 4, 7 to 12. Okay. We read this. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." If this sounds familiar, this is what Dallas read for us earlier this morning. But notice what John says in verse 7. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God." Okay? Godly love is not something we can manufacture from within. It's not. Godly love comes from God into us and from us out to others. Okay? It's the difference between something being artificially made and something being organic. Okay? If something's artificially made, it may look like meat, but it's not meat. Okay? Meat comes from an animal. Okay? I can muster up something that looks like love and may even feel like love for a time, but it's not godly love. Okay? Love flows from God Himself through us and out to others. And it's full of life, nutrients, and health. Okay? Now, how does this happen? This is the important part. Okay? If I can't manufacture it, how does God send it in me, give it to me so I can give it to others? Well, John makes it clear. Verse 7, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 10, God loved us. Verse 12, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. We love because God first loved us. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is found in Ezekiel 36. 36 through 37, okay? And it's this, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove a heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules, okay? Ezekiel here is prophesying to the exiles when they will return after the exile. But I think it also applies to when we are in a relationship with Christ. Now, don't go to the next slide yet. I want to ask this question. We can take this analogy too far, but imagine a rock shaped like a heart and then a human heart. What are the differences between the two? Okay, I should have had Elliot go out and give me a rock. But if I have a rock here and I have and there's a human heart, what are the differences between the two? Hard and soft, okay? One is living, one's not. What else? Huh? Shape? Okay. Okay. Blood flows through one, there's no movement in the other. A heart of stone, try to penetrate it. Pretty hard. You're going to crack it. Okay. All sorts of differences. Now go to that next slide. Okay. The rock is cold. Human heart is warm. A rock is still. The human heart beats. The rock won't allow anything to enter, but the human heart will. The rock can't feel, but the human heart can. The rock refuses to be shaped, but the human heart can be fixed. Plus all the ones you said. There's a huge difference between these two. And so the prophet is saying, we have a heart of stone before we have a relationship with Christ. Okay? It is cold, still, impenetrable, doesn't feel, can't be shaped. Okay, we are enemies of God, Ephesians 2 says. Once we come into a relationship with Christ, God loves us. We respond by loving Him, by giving our lives to Him. Our heart completely changes. Okay, now let's look at this in a more practical sense. Next slide, please. A person with a hard heart. Okay, you've all known people. I've known people. We all have. Somebody who we would consider to have a hard heart. What characterizes someone like this? Okay. At least for me, I often find that they hold grudges. And it's not easy for them to forgive. Two, oftentimes they're concerned about their own needs or wants. Okay. Three, I often find them to be insensitive to the needs of others. Not because they're uncaring, just it doesn't enter their mind a lot of times. And four, I often find them to be critical and angry. Not always, these are generalizations, but I think they're traits I see fairly commonly, okay, or fairly often. So be a person with a hard heart. And the essential to having a heart that is able to love, a heart that is not like this, is an ever-growing relationship with Christ. John makes it clear that the only person who knows God can truly love. Now, why is this? Well, it's because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, we've all seen pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross. We've seen him bloodied, bruised, and beaten, which he was, and which is very accurate. But if we think that is the extent of his suffering, we're missing it, because that's a very, very small part. Okay? And the truth of this comes in the word propitiation. Now, I remember working at Awana once, and like a third grade student had to say the word propitiation. Okay? Propitiation. Like, close enough. Okay? Did he know what it meant? No. Do you know what it means? Okay? My students at school don't know. Okay? Propitiation has this meaning. Okay? Jesus on the cross took the wrath of God that was meant for us on himself. Okay? It is the propitiation means he is the object of God's wrath. Okay? Now, when we think of God's wrath, okay, we think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, we think of the bowls and the trumpets of Revelation. Sometimes maybe even the woes that Jesus prophesied said about the Pharisees. You never want to be the object of God's wrath. Anybody here have that as your heart's desire? You want to be the object of God's wrath? I hope not. Okay? That is a terrible, terrible place to be. Yet on the cross, Jesus became the object of God's wrath because he took the sin from everyone. Okay, who believed before and who will believe after. He took it on himself, and that wrath of God was on Christ. That was the pain. That was the terrible suffering that Jesus endured. Okay? And he had to give his life to appease that wrath, to satisfy it. Okay? This is what John says in his gospel: greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. That's what Jesus did. And because of God's love for us, as shown on the cross, we should love others. And this is why I began this section with the phrase, you cannot give what you don't have. Okay? We cannot love others without being loved by God. We just can't do it. Why? Because we wouldn't know what love truly is. Okay? Without God loving us first, we wouldn't know what true godly love is like. Okay? And what this means is this: if you want to have a deeper love for your spouse, we want to have a deeper love for our family, our neighbors, the clerk at Dillon's, whoever, what is required is a deeper and deeper relationship with the Lord. The more we love the Lord, the more we can love others. Scripture is very clear. There's a direct correlation between the two. Okay. And experience bears it out. If I'm short, upset, easily angered, my wife will tell me, have you spent time with the Lord lately? And my answer is almost always no. Is it a surprise? If I don't spend time with the Lord, I don't love well. If I'm spending time with the Lord, I have a longer fuse. I have more patience and grace with people. Scripture and experience bear them both out to be true. And so this is true. When spending time with the Lord, reading his word, conversing with him throughout the day, it's easier to forgive mistakes, enjoy their company, others' company, and consider their welfare before our own. We can only give what we have. Okay? Not only we can't give what we don't have, but we can only give what we do have. And if we have a relationship with the Lord, then we can give that to others. Okay? Now, understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that an unbeliever cannot love. No.
An unbeliever can love his or her spouse, children, and friends greatly. I think this is a grace that comes from the Lord. But an unbeliever or someone who doesn't know Christ cannot truly understand the full depth of love without a relationship with Christ, because that understanding comes through being united with Christ. Now, as I wrap up, I want to bring us back to where we started. John 13:34. Jesus says, "By this, by love, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And when Jesus said this, he was creating something the world had never seen. He created a group identified by one thing, by love. That had never been done before. There are lots of groups in the world who identify themselves in lots of ways, by skin color, uniform, shared interest, alma mater, you name it. Okay? But the church is unique. For the first and only time in history, Jesus created a group whose identifying factor was love. Skin color doesn't matter. Native language doesn't matter. There's no rules about diet or clothing. Followers of Christ are identified by their love for one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And I think if we can be a church, a body of believers who truly understands this and lives this, to really love one another, I think it's noticeable. I go back to the first century in the early church, I look and I see, and what did God do? The church grew in breadth and depth. I look at the second century when there were all of these epidemics. Everybody ran except for believers. They cared and loved. And because of that, the gospel spread and eventually took over the whole Roman Empire. I see it throughout church history. When the church loved well, okay, God grew in breadth and depth. I don't think it's changed. When the church loves well, okay, they will know us by our love and we will grow in depth. So let us be a church that really does love each other well. We're family, okay? And yeah, sometimes we got brothers or sisters, aunts and uncles, we're like, yeah, we'll put you off in a corner. Let's not do that, okay? So I challenge you, love one another well, get to know each other. Talk to people you haven't talked to in a while, okay? That's what family does. Lord, thank you for these verses this morning from John and from his letter that make it very clear that we are to love one another. And Lord, let us not only think about it, but let us act on it. To maybe go beyond what we normally do, to interact and to relate and to make friends with others that we don't often hang out with, we don't often talk to. Lord, and to encourage and do what family does. Take care of each other. Lord, that's what you're calling us to do. So we pray that you would help us do that. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.